Good evening, everyone. Please be seated. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has dawned upon you. For behold, darkness covers the land, deep gloom enshrouds the peoples, but over you the Lord will rise, and his glory will appear upon you. So begins Canticle 11, the third song of Isaiah. This week, in the School for Ministry, a few of my classmates and I presented to the larger group the topic of the daily offices. During our pandemic times, in recording morning prayer for Wednesday, I have read the third song of Isaiah as the canticle designated for the day. It has become a light for me. I consider the practice of morning prayer a gift of St. Thomas. My small and nervous dog is curled up in her bed next to me when I read this aloud into the QuickTime player of my computer. My classmate Bruce says his chocolate lab gets onto his lap on the sofa when he reads the prayers. And Nicole has a circle of doves gather outside her window. When the windows were open, my neighbor Anna would hear me, as would anyone walking along the sidewalk close to my window where I sit. This is joyfulness. Until the pandemic, I had not been a regular with morning prayer, and this has changed. I've learned in preparing for our presentation that there are wonderful reasons why we want to include a practice of the daily office in our lives. The daily office has tremendous power for discipleship. That's important to me right now. We are in the season of Epiphany, which to me seems like the season for discipleship. Praying from a script sometimes gets a bad rap, but there is a massive potential for education and formation if you allow yourself to internalize the theological richness of these prayers, creeds, and collects. The daily office connects me with the church universal, and that would be our tribe. The daily office revolves around the Christian calendar in a shared rhythm. This connection has been especially important during these times when much time is spent alone. I've had plenty of that. As one who loves the garden and the rhythms of the seasons of the natural world, I see the deep value in the rhythm of praying the offices daily. I think especially of the community here at St. Thomas, those on the prayer list, and everyone else. The daily office connects me with the Anglican tradition, helping me to adopt and internalize these priorities, traditions, and perspectives. The prayer book is one of the aspects of our faith that is precious to me. The Spirit speaks to me through it, and its use in the daily office through those who penned it via the Spirit's intervention for them. The daily office helps me develop discipline and consistency. The office itself draws me back every day. It's a prayer solid ground. Maybe Lent would be a good time to start this. It's right around the corner if it's not your practice already. Maybe you have some creative ideas on how to use the office. Agree with friends to pray Compline at the same time every night, even if you can't be together. Maybe old school by phone. But this, in my words today, is not just about the practice of daily office. It's about St. Thomas and gratitude and about discipleship. Additionally, to the morning prayer readings, there were gifts of the collective voice from St. Thomas when we read Psalm 119. So many of our voices knit together. We typically only get to experience Psalm 119 in bits during the year, and it was lovely to have it all of it in its entirety. I have had the gift of clergy fellowship, having been invited to participate in the Wednesday afternoon clergy call. This was most welcoming. I never felt like just the intern. I'm grateful that I was drawn into this meeting where the operations of the parish and collegiality exist side by side. with pieces from our lives mingled in. I'm grateful for the example of servant leadership that I have seen in Father Todd and Deacon John. On Sundays, I have received the gift of many voices, even if it's voices coming out of small digital squares. But I am grateful that we have technology to allow this to happen. I've been grateful for Father Todd's voice in sermon, especially grateful for listening to how some difficult topics like racism and challenges for our pandemic times are voiced with calm tenor and deep grace. Sometimes there would be some well-placed irony to wrinkle up a smile or a reference that would inspire an aha. There is the musical and lilting voice of Deacon John, who draws us into the gospel and sends us forth into the world, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit indeed. I'm grateful for the truly wonderful readers that are here at St. Thomas. Maybe some of you haven't been to many other churches, but if you do, I'm sure you know what I mean when I say that good reading of Scripture does make a difference. I receive the gift of tolerance as you listen to my occasional homilies. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to practice my scholarship and preparation as I try to voice messages to you from what I'm learning. This said, here are a few things from today's reading that I think are important. The thing about Mark's gospel, to me, is that it brings a sense of urgency. We go fast. From Jesus' baptism to the temptation in the desert to selecting his disciples to smack right into ministry. A ministry that begins with a sense of immediacy and with a new authority. Mark wastes no time getting to the work Jesus sets out to do. First, I think it's important to see that Jesus' first public ministry happens in Capernaum, not Jerusalem, also not in Nazareth. Jesus assumed independent leadership by this move, by beginning his ministry in somewhat other than his own town, where we learned last time that questionable things come out of Nazareth, Jesus' hometown, where also prophets were not welcome. He doesn't begin in Jerusalem, which was the center of Judaism. Capernaum was a thriving community with a strong Roman presence, a city that was also known for its sin and decadence. But what else do we know about Capernaum in addition to today's healing story? We remember that it was in Capernaum where four friends lowered their pal down through the roof in order that he be healed, where we see illustrated the faith of a Roman centurion, where Peter's mother was healed, where a nobleman's son is healed, where a synagogue's leader's daughter is healed. So place means something. Andrew Doyle tells us, "We as a community must be freed and unbound from ties that bind us, from the shackles of any inherited religion." New life. Jesus invites us to reach that part of our heart that believes in God's unfailing love. He invites us to be welcoming and accepting of others without abandon. We are invited to live lives in communities where the Holy One of God is present and alive and proclaimed, places like St. Thomas. How is that possible? By people who lead a prayerful life, and prayer becomes action. Prayer and faith become healing and transformation, deep and lasting change, repentance and conversion. One writer and theologian we studied in school for ministry is N.T. Wright. In his book, Surprised by Hope, he tells us this. While Eastern European communism was going to fall by its own weight sooner or later, it is highly significant that the thing that actually put the crowbar under it and toppled it over was the fearless witness of a Polish pope and those who took courage from his faith and hope. And granted that apartheid could not last forever, it is highly significant that at the center of the movement for its peaceful dismantling, instead of the bloodbath all commentators had been expecting and many on the ground were hoping for, was a black African archbishop who spent the first 3 hours of every day and repeated moments afterwards in devout and fervent prayer. Who would have thought, all these years later, that we would see a commission of truth and reconciliation set up to bring healing to that troubled country? Immediate authority. What Jesus establishes, according to our gospel writer, Jesus breaks all boundaries that would have benefited under a different rule. He liberates people from powers that afflict them in creation. He breaks apart ruling bodies and societies that prohibit flourishing. It's about God's intention for the world, us included. Amen.